Hello, beautiful souls, and welcome to my Purposeful Life podcast. I'm your host, Chelsea Geed. One very early morning after a five-day spiritual retreat in Sedona, I woke up to this entire podcast and all its episodes and content downloaded and channeled through me. As this podcast has been born from Source, Universe, God, I am honored to serve as the conduit to bring you content that I hope will inspire you and bring new insight on how you can tap into living a more purposeful life. From spirituality to holistic health and wellness, this podcast will cover many aspects of discovering who you truly are, how to release what's no longer aligned with your soul, and actionable steps on living a more purposeful life. Thank you for joining me. For working on raising your own vibration so as a collective we can continue on our path of enlightenment together. Emily, thank you so much for being on the podcast today. I am so stoked to dive into all things vegan food, healthy foods, gut health, all of that today. So if you guys have not gotten to meet Emily before, she is just such a sweet, sweet old soul, so knowledgeable on all the things. Like, you're so extensive on like everything that you know and have learned and are going to bring to this podcast episode. So I'm really excited to dive in with you today. So before we get started, Emily, will you tell us a little bit about you and your background?
Sure. I am from Portland, Oregon, originally, and I moved out here to South Dakota about 6 years ago. So I was trying to lose weight ultimately for several years. And I felt I ate fairly healthy. And I didn't realize that I had a bunch of health issues going on. So this is where my journey started. I realized that I had food allergies. So I started cutting out the unhealthy things and the things that were not serving my body. And I slowly started eating more fruits and vegetables. And I was not only losing weight, but my health completely changed. So this has been such a passion for me. Now it's been almost 10 years that I've been eating a high raw vegan diet, and I have not had to diet since. And so this is, again, such a passion, and my goal now is to help other people find the same thing. So I am a chef, and I make all of the healthy things taste super delicious so that we can nourish our bodies and heal from the inside out.
I love that. Tell us a little bit about your business, Beloved Kitchen.
Beloved Kitchen started out with cooking classes. I should say uncooking classes because everything is raw. And I was also an in-home personal chef. With the pandemic, both of those things completely stopped. And we transformed the business to meal prep and order online and then have food delivered to your house. So that's a big piece of what we still do. And we now have food in 2 grocery stores in town, and we sell these fig bars at a coffee shop, and then we're also at the farmer's market. So everything is vegan, plant-based, for now gluten-free, and we use very little soy.
And it's so good. I think I've had like almost everything that you've ever made, from your juices to your delicious fig bars to your smoothies to the food that you make, and it's all just amazing. Like, it's always so surprising to me that this is raw, vegan, plant-based food, because it's just so good. And even my husband, who like, I have to like ask him once a week, like, how many vegetables have you eaten today? And he's like, well, I'm like, okay, like, you need some more vegetables in your diet. Even that guy is like, loves your food too, thinks it's so good. So congratulations on just having such an incredible product and food that you bring to so many that are looking for that. So, okay. So you said that when you kind of started, you were dealing with some health issues as well. Can you tell us a little bit about what that was and how changing your diet helped with that?
Yes, definitely. I guess I didn't realize as a young kid or a young adult that I had all these health issues. To me, this was normal. It's how I always was. And I was always miserable, or I was always sick. So I had really bad digestive issues. I was very constipated. So I would go maybe number two every few days, like one time every few days. So if that's you and you're struggling with that, just know that is not normal. I had really bad inflammation in my body. So prior to going vegan, like my ring size was a size 9. After I started cutting out dairy and eating plant-based, my ring size is now a size 7. So if that says anything too about, I know my fingers weren't just fat, it was that I had a lot of inflammation. I had really bad acne. Asthma was awful. So playing sports as a young teen was really difficult. I had 3 different inhalers that I used daily. And that, again, not normal and is a sign of having really bad inflammation in the body or a food allergy. So if you're struggling with asthma, maybe look into that. And then in addition to that, I had leg pain. It was every night for as long as I could remember. And I thought as a young kid that it was just growing pains. So my mom would give me milk or, you know, calcium to help combat that. And I had it into, you know, early 20s. And it's just, again, not normal. So when I switched my diet, that completely went away. So all of those things went away.
That's so amazing. I am like resonating with everything you said because I also dealt with literally every single thing that you said. And I even had asthma, and my asthma doctor, when I started cutting out gluten and dairy and really changing my environment, you know, the toxins that were in my environment, I no longer had asthma. And he's like, well, this is just so odd. People don't just get over asthma. And I'm like, well, maybe they actually do once we understand that we're not usually just born with this, right? That there's something there that can change and shift in our lives and make our living situation so much better. So yeah, totally resonating with literally everything you said. Okay, so before we dive too much into the wellness part of this episode, because this podcast is based on spirituality and holistic wellness, I'd love to hear a little bit about your own spirituality. So what has your spiritual journey looked like this far?
I feel I had really strong intuition as a young kid, and I feel that I could sense energy between like other humans and animals without there being a lot of body language or words being shared. And it was something I didn't fully understand until I got much older. So my spiritual journey, I would say, started about 4 years ago now. I went to Bali to study raw food.
So jealous, by the way. Bali is like on my... We had a 2-week trip planned a week before COVID hit.
Oh,
I know. We were going to go there for our 1-year anniversary for 2 weeks. So I still dream about it often.
I remember Thad reaching out asking if anybody had ever been to Bali before. And I said, I've already been once. I'm going again. And we almost got stuck there.
Oh my gosh.
Because there was the outbreak in South Korea, and our flight, our layover was there. And then all the American Airlines flights got canceled that were coming into Minneapolis.
Oh my gosh.
And so we were almost stranded in the middle of South Korea. But we made it back home. I'm so sorry you didn't get to go. I'm hoping that we could maybe go back again soon. So I've been there twice, stayed for a month at a time. And it is a very spiritual place, let me tell you. Not just the culture of the locals there, but what I found was that there was tons of raw foodists, there was tons of yogis, everybody that was on their own spiritual journey that were waking up, they were in Bali. And so I feel I went there for raw food and to learn how to do that, and what I gained was so much more. I started by going to some yoga classes there, and then they had kirtan music, which it felt very awkward and strange to me at first because I grew up in a church. I grew up with a Christian background, and I had been away from the church for a while. And being in Bali and hearing people chanting these words I didn't understand over and over and over, and they were super into it, I thought it was very strange, but it was beautiful. So I listened, and I was just a part of it. And by the end of the night, I felt this huge wave of love and gratitude sweep over me. And it's something that I'll never forget. And it's something that I've felt now so often since that day. So I feel like in Bali, that was planting the seed for me. Raw food, honestly, has been a huge part of my spiritual journey. So not just learning you know, how to meditate or be present or to have gratitude daily. But to nourish my body, I feel, is one of the highest forms of self-love. And when you love yourself, you can also then have so much love and compassion for everyone and everything around you. And raw food or eating plants, it's very high vibrational. Whereas a lot of other foods that are processed or have preservatives and chemicals in them, or they're deep fried, they're very low vibrational, they're very toxic, and they're very taxing on our bodies. So I feel like I was able to elevate myself and be able to be on a spiritual journey because of eating more foods that are from the earth.
I love that. I think sometimes people may not see the connection, right? It's like, well, if I'm on the spiritual journey, why does it matter the food I put in my body? And it's because it's all energy, right? In order to continue on a spiritual journey, you are raising your energy as you're going along. And if you're consuming low vibrational foods, it's going to be so much harder to get to where you want to be, to where your soul is meant to be in this lifetime, right? I also think too that when we are dealing with so many physical issues in our body, it's like we don't have the energy or the space or the mental capacity to continue in our spiritual journey because we're so stuck in whatever it is that's happening in our body, right? So that's why there's the mind, body, soul connection, because it is really all connected and it really does matter what we put into our bodies.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Being able to like heal your body, to remove toxins, to reverse illness and disease. You have more energy, you feel better, and yes, it boosts your self-confidence. Your mood is way more stabilized, I feel, because you can help balance your hormones and heal that. You can heal your gut, which boosts your immune system, and serotonin is made in our gut. We're gonna talk about gut health in a second. And serotonin is what feeds your happy, right? And so when you are eating beautiful food and your body is in a very healthy and functioning optimally state, then yes, this is where you do have the space then. And to work on your spiritual journey.
Mm-hmm. And it really is a form of what I like to call soul care or self-care, right? Is caring for your body and the food you put into it. So I love that so much. So I'm curious to know, how is the work that you're doing impacting and changing other people's lives? Like, do you have some stories of other people you've worked with that you could share with us?
I would say, there's so many. It's hard to know where to start or what to share. You know, it's anything from, like people's symptoms that they've been dealing with getting better, going away. Of course, weight loss is something I just feel it's like this beautiful side effect. When your body starts healing, it starts to get to an optimal weight just because it's happy. Definitely have worked closely with a few people who have had things like leaky gut, even people with type 2 diabetes that were able to reduce their insulin by over half. And eating fruits and vegetables, which they were told to limit fruit, but they were able to eat more fruits and vegetables and then started taking less than half of their daily doses of insulin. So reversing things like leaky gut is very common, or reducing, foods that are causing a lot of irritation for the gut. So reducing a lot of inflammation, water weight being lost, skin rashes clearing up was a really, I've had two people really cool on the 5-day reset. Within 5 days, they had rashes go away that they've dealt with for years. So that was really, really cool. There's so many.
That's so awesome. It definitely makes a difference, right? I can even tell in my son who he's dealing with, it's not really eczema, it's just like little tiny bumps on his skin. And I just know it's from the formula that he's drinking. And so we're actually trying something new this week and I'm really hopeful that that helps. And it doesn't seem to be bothering him, right? But I have a feeling that if we don't address it sooner rather than later, it could come into something much bigger. So and he doesn't eat any processed food. So the only thing processed he drinks really is his formula. So I'm hoping moving away from that and going to something a little less processed will help remove that, and it will be plant-based instead of dairy-based. So
yeah, that's a wonderful switch. Mm-hmm. My daughter actually had the same thing for many years. Then we found out she was allergic to gluten, so it could be some sort of a sensitivity. So you might be onto something with the formula.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, so let's talk about gut health. I know you get super excited to talk about this. Why is understanding your gut so important when it comes to disease, inflammation, and hormone imbalances? And I'm sure so much more.
Yes, I feel oftentimes when people reach out to me or they want to do a 5-day reset or start eating raw food or do a juice cleanse, they're trying to quickly fix something that's been going on in their body for a long time and they didn't realize was related to their gut. Usually it's for the purpose of trying to lose weight or have more energy, or I just don't feel right, so I'm just going to try to eat healthier. And people miss it big time. Often they're not looking at the gut. So our gut, it controls, I feel, and helps regulate over 90% of the rest of our body's health. And this is everything, not just to boost your immune system or to have proper digestion, but it also helps. We talked about serotonin is made in the gut. So this helps with neurotransmitters that can help balance hormones. So it helps support the thyroid. It even helps with things. So if you have anxiety, depression, mental health issues, your gut is it's playing a huge role in your mental health. So a lot of people don't see these connections. But I do. And so this is a wonderful thing that I get to help educate people on as they're on their health journey. So they're eating more raw foods. And this is wonderful because it's full of fiber and prebiotics to help good gut bacteria grow. But now it's time to start cutting out the things that are feeding our bad gut bacteria and to start incorporating things that are going to feed good gut bacteria so that we can get to a better place.
How do you start with something like that? Do you just look at what someone's eating as a whole and then just eliminate everything and then slowly start adding back in? Or what does that look like?
It could be as strict or as flexible as you want. I would feel there's a place to get to where you absolutely want to cut out all processed foods, especially processed sugar. Alcohol is not going to be a friend while you're trying to achieve this, as well as medications can be very taxing on your body's good gut bacteria. So ultimately, you want to be eating more raw fruits and vegetables and avoiding gluten, processed sugars, medication, and alcohol. Then you want to start incorporating in things that are going to feed your good gut bacteria. So you're looking at doing lacto-fermented vegetables. So things like sauerkraut, kimchi, you can make your own fermented vegetables at home, it's super easy. Or doing things like water kefir and kombucha are very high in probiotics. Taking a probiotic supplement morning and night away from food just to help recolonize your good gut bacteria. And then again, doing a lot of fiber, and which is going to act as prebiotics for your gut. So it could be, it's ultimately a place you want to be is to be doing more fruits and vegetables and all those other things I mentioned. But I would start by just slowly cutting out the things you know are feeding bad gut bacteria.
That's a great starting point for anyone that's listening. So with the rise in mental health, right? We are seeing so many people's mental health actually declining because of COVID. Really, that's kind of the start of it all. Why does, or what's the science behind the reason your gut can affect your mental health? Because I know for me, when I'm feeling stressed out or a little anxious about something, instead of caring for my body, which is what you should do, my default is okay, I gotta get through whatever it is this thing I'm doing, and then it's I'll stop doing my normal routine, and I'll stop maybe eating as healthy because I'm grabbing things to go because maybe I don't have as much time. So maybe you can give us a little info or some of the science behind why does the food we're putting in our body affect our mental health, and how can we help?
Yes, I feel oftentimes when we're struggling mentally or we have really bad depression or anxiety, we start trying to fix our mind first and foremost. We try to meditate more, or there's something wrong, or we look to medications. Everything has its place, and those are all beautiful, I guess, avenues to look at. But I think we need to address the body as a whole too, and look at, you know, inflammation in your gut. Eating foods that you are intolerant to or allergic to is linked to anxiety. So it starts in the liver, really, when it comes to your mental health. I should say that was a very general statement, or a very like factual, like this is oftentimes, if you have a sluggish liver, toxins in your liver, it is not able to allow your body to have good gut bacteria. Like, your gut will be compromised if your liver is in a state of toxicity. And you don't need to have a history of like alcoholism or heavy smoking or medications in order to have a sluggish liver. We're constantly exposed to toxins. And so in our liver, there is some toxicity there. So if you do have a sluggish liver, you're not producing enough bile to properly break down your food. If undigested food is making its way down into your intestines, into your gut, this causes a lot of inflammation and irritation. So if your gut bacteria then is compromised due to this, then this is where you're not producing the correct amounts of serotonin, GABA, which are your neurotransmitters, which help maintain your body's level of happy, and again, support your thyroid and your hormones and help regulate that. So oftentimes it can be coming from your gut, or even further up the line, your liver.
That is so wild. It's just all so connected, right? It's like, this is not anything I ever learned in anatomy class in high school.
Me either. No, and nobody's talking about it. And I feel that I used to have crazy bad anxiety, especially as a little kid and a young adult. And I feel everything changed for me when I changed my diet and I changed my health. And so I've been so in love with learning about how to heal the body, because I know that there's so much magic to this, that the body is constantly trying to heal itself. It's just overloaded and it's run down and it's tired. So if we eat better and we give our body the tools that it needs, it can heal itself. So I've noticed my mental health improve tenfold when I started eating better. And very simply, we talked about energy, right? And if you're vibrating in a very low level, it's hard to be happy and energized and vibrant and have the space to have good and better mental health. So if you don't feel good, your thoughts are not going to feel good either.
It all makes sense when you break it down. It really, really does. Okay, so being someone who grew up in a household where dieting was just a culture and a way of being, which I'm sure a lot of you listening can resonate with that as well, and then having to transition out of that environment and having to figure out what having a healthy lifestyle actually looked like, was totally eye-opening to me, right? Like, I grew up on like freezer meals, tater tot casseroles, lots of steak and potatoes, right? A typical like Midwestern diet, I feel like. So it's been over 4.5 years now since I've cut out gluten and dairy from my own diet because of the way it made me feel. I had a lot of, like I said, the same things you were dealing with. I got diagnosed with adult acne when I hit 30, and I was put on medication, and it was literally medication they give people when your blood pressure is too high. So when I would do burpees at the gym, I would stand up and I'd feel like I was gonna pass out, like I'd get tunnel vision, because it was, and I was like, I am not taking this anymore. And after I cut out gluten and dairy, it all went away, of course. So I'd love to know your thoughts on dieting versus a detox or healing. How do we make that mindset shift if we've grown up in a space where that's not the mindset, that's not the norm? How do you transition to that? How do you change your mindset?
We talk about this a lot when we do our 5-day programs and our 7-day transformations. Because again, a lot of people join to like, oh, well, I have fitness goals and I want to stay in shape or I want to lose weight. And you know, wherever you're starting, that's wonderful, because I started with trying to lose weight too, and it shifted to something else that has made it now a lifestyle change, and that is the mindset of abundance versus restriction. And, you know, coming from a place of I am enough versus I am not enough. So having this shift of calorie restriction and doing way too much cardio because I was unhappy with how I looked in the mirror, I was unhappy with the number on the scale, it shifted to I'm exercising as a way of celebrating what my body can do and its physical abilities and enjoying every moment of it, and not doing the things that I don't like and forcing myself to do those and doing more of the things that I do enjoy. If I enjoy cycling, I'm gonna do more of that. If I enjoy doing yoga, I'm gonna do more yoga. If I really don't like getting on the treadmill, I'm not gonna force myself to get on the treadmill. I'm gonna find another way of doing this exercise that I know is good for me in a way that feeds my soul and in a way that is loving and kind and not a punishment, as you know, for what I ate yesterday. I feel like I hear that a lot, and it is so sad. And then the same thing with the food that I eat. It's coming from a place of self-love, first and foremost, is that I'm eating this food because I love myself and I love the food. So I encourage people, when you start making these shifts towards better health and wellness or whatever your goals are, to lose weight or to feel better, to eat more of the things that you enjoy. Don't force yourself to eat kale if that is not your favorite thing. Try something else. If you don't love bananas, but you love oranges, eat oranges, you know? And take those steps very slowly, make it enjoyable. And first and foremost, do it because you absolutely love yourself.
I love that. Understanding the brain and how it's wired, with my background in neurolinguistic programming, there's something about when you're working towards a goal, when it's a not versus a happy point. So what that means is, if you're working towards something, if you're working out or eating healthy because you don't want to look like the way you look, versus you're doing it because you love the way it feels once you do, that little mindset shift can actually be a make or break of whatever it is that you're wanting to incorporate into your life. So I love that you touched on that, right? Like, we need to be doing it because we love ourselves or because we're wanting more energy so that we can pour more into our families or whatever it is, versus I'm doing this because I don't want this or I don't like the way I look or whatever that might be. So it's so, so powerful. It seems like a small change or a small shift, but it can really make or break everything.
Honestly, I feel once people make that mindset shift, no matter where they're at or how far away from their goals they are, but if they make that mindset shift first, everything else falls into place. And then it's long term. It's not just a quick fix, or I have the motivation now and the willpower now and eventually it's going to go away. If you're forcing yourself to do something and you don't truly enjoy it, you're not likely to stick with it.
100%. Make it a lifestyle, right? It is, yes, becoming who you are versus, well, I'm just going to do this for a couple months or a couple weeks or whatever it might be.
Yes. So. And starting slowly, mm-hmm. not trying to do everything at,
yes,
once, because our bodies are used to consistency. We've had the same habits for a long time, and wherever it is that you're at in your journey, it took a while for you to get to that place. So understand, it takes time to get to the place that you want to be. And if you do too much too soon, you're likely to feel a lot of resistance from your body, fall off the wagon, and then you're in this space of beating yourself up because you couldn't do it and you're not strong enough, and we don't want to be there. So I started personally by just doing one thing a week or until I had it down as a habit. So my first goal was to just start drinking more water. I knew that that was something that I needed to do. So I started drinking more water until it was a habit. I drank over a gallon a day. It was easy and I didn't have to think about it anymore, and it wasn't a hassle. Then it was, okay, let's make breakfast a little healthier. And I tweaked my ingredients and made my healthy swaps until breakfast was easy and no-brainer. I was eating raspberries with oats and green tea, no processed sugar, maybe a little swirl of honey. I'm vegan now, so we don't do honey, maybe a swirl of agave. Then it was exercise. And so I had these lists of all of the things that I wanted to incorporate into my future self. This is the lifestyle change that I want. And instead of tackling them all, I did one at a time until it was a habit. And that is what now has made it last for 10 years. And here we go on year 11.
Yes, I'm so glad you mentioned that, because when we try to change everything all at once, it's so overwhelming, right? Or we'll try it for a week and we're like, I can't do this. It doesn't fit into my lifestyle. I have to go back to the way I was. And it's like, just change one thing. Pick one thing a week to focus on, or one thing until it feels right and it's now a part of who you are, and then move on to the next thing. Yes. I love that so much. Okay, so you have a daughter who also eats plant-based, right? And she is just the sweetest little soul. Oh my gosh, she's
Thank
so sweet.
You.
Tell me about what that journey has been like with her, and how do you handle situations like school meals or hanging out with friends?
Mm. I do get asked a lot, you know, because I feel there's one person in the family that starts to eat this way and they love it, but then they've got kiddos or they have a resistant partner and they're making separate meals. And I understand that struggle very much. When I first started, it was I'd make everybody else's food first, and then I would make my food after, and then I would watch them eat all of the things that I really wanted, and then I would eat my own, you know, broccoli or whatever salad. So it is a journey. Especially if you're looking to make this switch and your kids are a little bit older, it's much easier when they're younger. But do know that there is hope, and you can get your family on board with you. With my daughter, I've been very blessed that she's been plant-based, vegan, since she was about a year old. So she does love her fruits and vegetables. Kale is her favorite thing. We were at the grocery store the other day, and she goes, Mom, can I please have a bundle of kale? And I was like, okay, you can have kale. And then she goes, can I have two? And the produce guy stocking the shelf just put down what he was doing, stood straight up, and turned around and looked to make sure she wasn't kidding. She was so excited to have two bunches of kale. So I feel very blessed to have her. Her taste buds and her palate, but it is because it was over time that this is what she's used to eating. And for yourself, for your kids, for your family, the more that you eat these foods that are nourishing to the body, the more your body is going to want to crave them, because it's maybe has the vitamins that your body is lacking or the nutrients that your body is looking for. So it does get easier in time. If you have kiddos, I feel a few tips are have the kids be hands-on with the food. One that I do often, if we have other kids come over who are more skeptical about eating fruits and vegetables, we'll make a smoothie bowl. So we'll make a peanut butter and jelly smoothie bowl, and then cut up a bunch of fruit, or have pumpkin seeds, chia seeds, coconut, and they get to choose what fruits they want and top their smoothie bowl. That way they're participating and they've agreed in some small way to eat that food because they put it together. Kids also love to dip things. So if you have some cut up veggies, or we make spring rolls at home and we'll dip them in a sauce, kids love to dip stuff. So those are two little tricks that you can try at home. Excuse me.
Well, now you have me craving a smoothie bowl, because that sounds so good. But I love those tips, and it's so true. Kids do love to dip things, don't they? Oh my gosh. Okay, so being a mama who wants to avoid processed sugars, processed foods, and food dyes with my little guy, this is something that I've thought about a lot. It's easy to control kind of what gets put in front of him now, because he is only 14 months old, right? But one day, he may go to a daycare, he will start school. He loves his papa Gigi, which is my mom and dad, and my dad is the biggest sugarholic you'll ever meet. And they've been good at respecting and understanding my boundaries. But how do you set healthy boundaries when it comes to your daughter and then the food that gets presented to her? And maybe because, like you said, she's been eating this way since she's one, she might not even look at those other foods and be interested in them. But we were at a baseball game last night, and there was a little girl eating a sucker, and Henley was just like staring at her like, what is that thing? And her mom's like, oh, did you want a sucker? I'm like, oh, no, no, no. Like, we don't do processed sugar, but thank you so much for asking. And she's like, oh, that was a really good idea for you to never introduce this. And so I'm just curious to know, how do you work on setting those boundaries, or do you have any suggestions for those that are listening?
So at first I was super strict, you know, and it's been years of packing lunches along with my daughter to daycare and to school. And of course, with like grandparents, family members, you know, who don't have this lifestyle, they're gonna have the things that maybe you don't, they're not in alignment with what you want for yourself or for your kids. And it happens, I guess. Understand that at some point it's gonna happen. They're gonna have candy, they're gonna drink some soda, they're going to eat ice cream. Like, at some point, it will happen. I remember at my daughter's daycare, so she's allergic to gluten, and we don't do, of course, any processed sugar, but we don't do dairy or eggs or whatever. And somehow somebody gave her a candy bar, a granola bar, and then she was so sick, you know, the next day, and she had a rash, and like, oh, just wasn't feeling good. And it was like, it happens, but you do your best, right? So you can have those conversations with your family members and your loved ones to say, this is the choices that we're making, and to make it easy, I'm going to stock your fridge or your freezer with a few things, so that way when we are over at your house that you have these options, because it's a lot, we understand it's a lot for ourselves to make these changes, and then to expect everyone else to understand those or to make those changes with us when they're not eating this way. It's a lot to ask. Like, this is for us. And so I like to help make those transitions a little bit easier, and being able to send along some food or some healthy snacks and just have something on hand in the freezer. And then the other hurdle is to not let your kid feel like they're left out, right? If everyone else at the birthday party is eating cake and ice cream and you're not, that's really, as a kid, that's really hard, you know? So we make sure that there's something super fun and delicious that Evie gets to take along to the birthday party. So if they're having pizza, we've made her a vegan pizza. If they're having cake, we'll hit up like Heart of the City or another local, you know, somebody who makes vegan or gluten-free treats, and we'll send something along like that, or even have a box of goodies at the school and the daycare for her, so that if there is a birthday party that we forgot about, Evie has an option.
That's such great advice. So when you're going to birthday parties, are you just asking the moms like, hey, what are you planning on having here? So like, you're prepared before you show up?
Definitely you can ask. They know me well enough to know now that they'll just tell me. There's probably nothing that Evie can eat, but this is what we're having, so.
That's nice. Yes. When I slowly started making my transition to gluten and dairy free, my family just didn't get it. They'd be like, well, does bread have gluten? Well, does that have gluten? And so instead of like having it be on them when I'd go back to my parents' house for Christmas and Thanksgiving and holidays, I would just bring my own food. And now, my sister is also gluten and dairy free, which is really nice. So now we like have more options when we go. But slowly my family has just been understanding, you know, like my mom's gonna make tacos. She'll like check to make sure that the taco seasoning doesn't have gluten in it, where before she would have been like, well, I don't know, how can you tell if it doesn't? So I think it's okay to slowly just start helping family and friends to understand, you know, whatever it is that you're not eating or have an allergy to, what that is, because just like us, like you said, we didn't know, and it was a lot for us right away. So being able to help kind of educate them as you're going as well. Another thing I want to know, because I do think that it's important to say this too, especially for those that are listening with maybe a little bit older kids. I have a 5-year-old niece, and we went to the farmer's market the other day, and my dad was with us as well. So he bought her cotton candy, of course, and she had not eaten breakfast yet. And so she's eating cotton candy, and about an hour later, she is just like crazy, right? Like, she is such a sweet girl, and all of a sudden she's like hitting her dad and she's just acting out. And I just took her to the side and I said, Pax, what's going on? And she's like, I don't know, I'm just so upset. And I said, do you want to know why you're so upset? I said, does it feel like your body's just kind of tingling and out of control? She's like, yeah. I'm like, does it feel like you kind of can't like regulate like what's coming out of your mouth? Like, it's just kind of exploding. She's like, yeah, that's exactly how I felt. And I said, this is what happens when we eat too much sugar. It throws our body all out of balance, and now we feel like we're not in control of everything that's going on. So being able to, in those moments, talk to your kiddos about, do you see the way you're, you know, or maybe it's an upset stomach because they ate too much sugar or dairy or whatever it is, being able to show them in the moment, in those moments that they're feeling that way, well, this is probably the cause. So then the next time they might not feel called to want to eat that or consume that because they remember how it made them feel the last time they did, right?
Definitely. I remember it was my daughter's second or third birthday party, and it was a super hot day, and I had made like homemade vegan pizzas for everyone and cupcakes, and we had infused water, and somebody gave Evie a can of soda. And her as a little kid and not knowing, and it's like super high in like sugar, she drank it. And I think, I don't know, but within half an hour, she was running around like crazy. She was sweating and just like, argh! And I remember she sat still for a second, and I was like, uh-oh, something's about to happen. It's coming. Her whole body was just kind of shaking, and she was looking at the ground in front of her, just kind of a blank stare, and she let out like, she's never thrown a temper tantrum. Understand, this kid is like the quietest, most shy, soft-spoken, old soul kid you've ever met. She's never thrown a temper tantrum, never hit anyone, never thrown anything out of like frustration. She let out like the biggest yell, and I could just tell her body was so unhappy with drinking that soda. And understand, like, that's kids and what's happening, but that's also what's happening for us adults too. We just have like the level-headedness, or we're not as outgoing, or, you know, we're keeping all of that to ourselves. But understand, your body is still going through those same reactions on the inside when we're still eating too much sugar or over caffeinating our bodies or too much of something that's not serving us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a good note to make, that in those moments when we're feeling crummy too, right, or our emotions feel all out of whack, being able to take a moment and say, okay, what did I eat? What did I consume that's making me feel this way? And this is my husband all the time. He hates it. He'll come home and he'll just be in an upset mood, or he's like, oh, I just don't feel good. And I'm like, well, what did you eat? He's like, stop asking me what I eat. It doesn't matter. I'm like, okay, but it does matter.
It does. Mm-hmm. What we eat, yes, it really affects our overall health. I mean, our bodies, looking at like our internal organs, our skin is our biggest organ, but our internal organs are replacing themselves completely every 8 to 10 years. Now, if they're replacing themselves slowly over time and they're building new cells and they're rejuvenating and letting go of the old cells, what are the building blocks that they're being built out of? Is it energy drinks? Is it fast food? Is it cake? Is it, what is it? So I want the building blocks that are replacing my internal organs to be better than the last ones, not just trying to make it and piece it together from alcohol or cigarettes or, right? Mm-hmm. So it is so critical that we're looking at what we're eating and understanding that it is affecting our health. We are what we eat. We also are what we can assimilate.
Mm-hmm. That's so good. So if someone is listening, is interested in learning how to transition into a raw vegan diet, or even just to incorporate more plant-based snacks or meals into life, where would you suggest they begin?
Don't cut out things. Add in more.
I love that.
So don't say, okay, well, I'm going to cut out soda and I'm going to start drinking more water. Just start drinking more water and keep things the same. Because again, we're looking at consistency and where we are now and how long it took us to get there. So, and then you also don't want to pitfall into a place of restriction or you're not eating enough. Raw food or eating more fruits and vegetables is very different than eating, you know, an omnivore diet. So they're not as calorie dense. Fruits and vegetables are just not. You have to eat bucket loads of fruits and vegetables to get your caloric needs for the day. And it's not something that comes easily, because we can have 500 calories in our breakfast cereal and it's a small amount. To get 500 calories worth of vegetables, you have to eat quite a bit. So add in more of the good things before taking away any of the things that you want to ultimately let go of. So eat more raw fruits, eat more vegetables, and maybe to your meals, since we talked about gut health, start adding into your savory meals and salads lacto-fermented vegetables, sauerkraut, or kimchi, and maybe start taking your vitamins, start drinking more water, and do all of those things before cutting out anything else.
That is such great advice, because I feel like that is where we'd go first, right? Like, okay, what do I need to cut out? What do I need to eliminate? Before you do that, add in. I love that. That's so good. What are some easy go-to meals and snacks that are staples in your own home?
Well, we make these salted caramel fig bars.
They're so good.
We just actually yesterday recipe created a peanut butter one. So because our family, we love peanut butter, I feel like this is going to be a new staple in our home. So things that we usually have on hand are going to be, we make like vegan cheesecake dessert bars or these granola bars when we keep them in the freezer. So that way we still will have our weak moments where we just want something sweet or we want a snack or you have the munchies, I say. But if it's kept in the freezer, then you have to be very committed and wait for it to thaw out and really decide, okay, this is my snack for the day. So we'll have sweet treats on hand. And then we always have salad dressings in our fridge or some sort of a sauce, because then this way we can throw meals together very easily. So we always have nacho cheese. Our so vegan, vegan nacho cheese. So, and for those who are listening, who maybe you're a guy or you have a husband who is very not into eating all of the green things, just get some of this nacho cheese and watch your kids and your husbands just eat all of the things that they should be eating. The nacho cheese is just the vehicle to eat more vegetables. So we have like green goddess sauce on hand, Alfredo sauce, nacho cheese, and this is just, it makes our lives so much easier to throw meals together. So if you have some salad greens or a tomato or some shredded carrots, you can easily put together a salad or a meal. We make our own nut milks at home. I feel like that's been a big game changer for us with making smoothies or even having like an alternative to put in your tea or coffee in the morning. So we make cashew milk, definitely a staple in our house. And gosh, I'm trying to think what else. We always have fruit on hand. And I think a big tip here now for transitioning to eating more fruits and vegetables is if you see it, you're gonna eat it. So in my kitchen, we have floating shelves with baskets and we fill them with fruit. We've got oranges, apples, bananas, lemons, kiwis, mangoes, whatever it is, they're up there, they're ripening up. So if I walk by them a million times a day and then I get hungry, the first thing I'm gonna think to eat is not the cookies or whatever it could be, right, that's in your cupboards, it's gonna be the fruit. It's the first thing you're gonna think of because you've been seeing it all day. So tons of fruit on hand and vegetables in the fridge. Other than that, it's having a sweet treat to, you know, just have something. And sauces.
And all your sauces are just amazing. You know, I'm obsessed with them. Every time I come to the farmer's market, I have to pick up one. Okay, so this is a question I like to ask every guest on the podcast. What does living a purposeful life mean to you?
I love this question. Honestly, I can say I felt like my life did not have a lot of meaning and purpose prior to opening my business. I don't mean that in a, like, I have a daughter, she's my life. There's lots of beautiful things that I have that are worth serving and living for, but I felt very unfulfilled. And I think most of all in my career, my work, what was I doing that was giving back to someone else? For me, I feel fulfilled and like I have purpose if I'm helping someone else. So I felt very lost for a long time, and now opening my business and helping people change the way that they eat, change the way that they connect with food and themselves, healing their body, changing their health, this means everything to me and I feel has given me so much purpose.
That is beautiful. I think so many of us can probably resonate with that. If we're not there yet, we might be on the other end of it, of feeling a little lost. But oftentimes it is about figuring out, what is your soul's purpose? Why are you here in this lifetime? What are you meant to do and help change in yourself and in others? And when we can find that and connect with that, it changes everything.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So if you are in that place where you're feeling stuck, lost, feeling like you're not doing something that's fulfilling to yourself, just understand that maybe you're not far off from getting there, that it's really saying yes to God, the universe, whatever it is that has that thing that's on your heart that you feel, I could do this, and this would be so rewarding and so fulfilling and so helpful to other people, but it's scary and it's risky. Mm-hmm. Just say yes to it. Just allow it to be, and the right opportunities will come and everything will fall into place, because I believe that what you are here to do, what your soul is here to do, to offer and to learn, you are guided to do that. And yes, there will be challenges and obstacles, but if you just say yes and be willing, yeah, everything will line up for you.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful. Thank you. So before we end the show, I want you to talk a little bit about the 5-day resets you offer. I can say from firsthand experience, they are not only like absolutely delicious, but really, really helped me. I know where I was at when I did the 5-day reset, I think it was a few months ago now, we'd had some big transitions at the boutique. I was working a lot. I was super, super stressed out because I was having to work so much out of my normal hours. I wasn't eating as well. I wasn't doing my daily meditation. So I could just tell I was so out of balance. My body was out of balance. My mind was out of balance. Like it wasn't happening for me. And I was like, this 5-day reset is going to help with that. And let me tell you, it most certainly did. I don't weigh myself, so I don't own a scale. I never know what I weigh, and I'm okay with that, being someone who used to need to weigh myself every single day. But I could tell that things were fitting better as well. So there was just so many benefits of it, like my clothes fitting a little bit better, the brain fog lifted for me, my mood was better, and then I stopped craving the other processed or sugary foods because my body reset, right? And it wanted now more just yummy whole foods. So share a little bit about what a 5-day reset looks like.
The 5-day reset, this is actually how we launched like what the business is today. Like this was after cooking classes and in-home personal chefing stuff. It kind of come to a halt. We launched a 5-day raw food reset. And so this is very close to my heart, this program. We had 26 people sign up with the first one. I was so nervous because it gets cold here in wintertime. So it was like negative 18 degrees outside, and I'm about to give people cold food and cold smoothies to eat, and they loved it. And I still get the same feedback today that I did from 2.5 years ago, is that this was the easiest cleanse I've ever done. When people think of doing a reset or a detox or a cleanse, they think of restriction and flavorless things, eating lots of vegetables, lots of celery juice, and it's very bland, and you're hungry all the time. This is not the case. Usually it's too much food for most people, and they love the different varieties of flavors, textures. My job is to just make the healthy things taste delicious, because I understand celery sticks and carrots can be boring. So you will get each day a cold pressed juice. You get a ready to blend smoothie. There's two entrees, one for lunch and dinner, and then there's a snack that you can sneak in there if you feel you need a little extra something. So we do this for 5 days, and all the meals are different, so the menu kind of changes every day. So you're getting a wide variety of different nutrition and vitamins in there, and you're very nourished. And then we do it as a group. So we have a Facebook group, and we can ask questions, get the support that we need, do it together. I think it's so nice when you are making a transition or a change or doing something new to know other people are doing it with you. They're going through the same things. So if you're feeling some detox, or you're feeling more energy, or you're feeling bloated or less bloated, whatever it is, then you have the support that you need. And then we go live in the Facebook group Monday through Friday at 8 a.m. and we talk about different topics of why raw food is so important. We talk about gut health, we talk about liver cleansing, we talk about intermittent fasting, all of these things. And yes, people do report that they either lose weight, because I just feel when your body is functioning optimally and it heals, you will get down to a healthy weight if you are not at that place. And yeah, you will feel more energy, definitely. So raw food has life force energy in it. It's prana, so it's very energizing. People have better sleep. Their skin starts to clear up, and some people they'll gently detox as well, which is beautiful to just remove toxins from the body. But it's just 5 days, so it's super short, easy. Anyone can do it. I have guys and gals do it, kids do it, and yeah, it's my favorite program and the most requested program.
And are you working on a liver detox program too?
Yes, I am.
Did I read that? Okay, yes. Tell me about that because I'm so interested in that.
Oh, so of course, a few years ago, I took this gut healing program called The Gut Solution, and it was put on by a husband and wife who traveled all over the world and interviewed all of these doctors and gastroenterologists, and it's like, the program was beautiful and very eye-opening to gut health. And so I went on this gut health kick for a while, like, oh my gosh, let's heal the gut and let's do this, this, that. And what I found is that if your liver is not in good health, it is very difficult to have good gut health. And I thought, oh my gosh, I've never detoxed or cleansed my liver. Like, I'll take milk thistle, which is good for cleansing your liver, or I'll drink my beet juice, which helps support your liver, or apple juice. But I've never detoxed it until recently. So I did several days of doing like these cold blended soups. I did different salads. I was taking different herbs and making these cold pressed juices. And I felt so amazing. And so I was just loving my liver for, I think I did it for about 8 days. And then just a few days ago, I did my very first liver flush. If you've never done one of these, there's a book that I could recommend. I think it's by Andrea Mortiz, and it's called The Liver and Gallbladder Flush. So again, we talked about earlier with mental health and how your gut plays a role in that, and also your liver, in that it is so important to give your liver a little bit of extra love and attention and detox. So I did this liver flush, and I had about 25 stones come out. And again, I've been incredibly healthy, active, feeling wonderful and vibrant. But I thought, I've never cleansed my liver, so let's give it a go. And I was shocked that I had stones in there just hanging out. And this is just toxins that have been absorbed by your liver, and then they calcify so that they're not out and exposed and causing any, you know, too much irritation in your liver. Your liver has to just kind of cope with it. So they'll calcify and harden up. So I did this cleanse and then I did a flush. So I'm very excited to share it. I am all about now cleansing the liver, because now it's going to help you have better gut bacteria and better mental health and better digestion and overall health and wellness. So I've purchased an ebook template to create like recipes and all of that. So I'm hoping to create a recipe book and then be able to offer it as a program that I could make the food for people, very similar to the 5-day reset, but this will be a loving your liver reset.
That is wild. Emily, how can listeners connect with you? They're resonating with you. They're interested in things you're saying. How can they connect with you?
You could go to my website, is belovedkitchen.com, and on my blog, there's recipes, there's some helpful information there. I am in Sioux Falls. My kitchen is inside Pomegranate Market. So if you stop by there Monday through Friday, morning to mid-afternoon, we can always say hi and chat. I'm also at the farmer's market on Saturday mornings at Falls Park from 8 to 1. Feel free to text, call, email.
Perfect. And it's beloved, B-E-E.
B with two E's.
Yes. And I'll make sure to link all this down below in the show notes as well. Thank you so much for just sharing all of your wisdom and knowledge with us. I know that we are so much better for it, and I'm looking forward to incorporating a few things that you talked about as well today. So
thank you so much. Mm-hmm.
Thank you for listening to another episode of my Purposeful Life podcast. If you are new here, I'd love for you to subscribe so you're notified every other week when new episodes go live. And trust me, we have some incredible episodes in the work you don't want to miss. If you got great value from this episode, sharing with someone who may be impacted by this message or on your social media platforms means the world to me. And as always, a review from you is the best form of energy exchange you can provide. Every review helps show this podcast to more people. And the more people listening, the more we can continue to raise the collective energy. The light in me sees and honors the light in you. Until next time.